Prologue. South Central Wisconsin, late April 1877.
Have you lost your senses?
Miss Roseanne Duncan looked over the advertisement for a mail-order bride, the paper rattling in her hand.
I can't become a mail-order bride. Besides, he's expecting you.
Doesn't matter, Abigail Johnson replied, continuing to sort through the tub of fresh vegetables. This is your best chance to survive, and you know it. A sick feeling went through her at Abby's blunt words. Memories of the mistress falling to her death, the master at the top of the stairs assailed her. She shuddered.
The memorial was set for today. It was only a matter of time until... No. She couldn't think it. A chance to get away? Could she really take it? Rose read over the advertisement flyer again.
Abby, this looks more like a wanted poster than a man in search of a wife.
Granted, it shows he's a bit creative and educated in the way it's worded. Abigail peeked over the top of the page, then returned to picking out the best of the potatoes. Rose was still stunned by Abby's plan to become a mail-order bride.
Yes, I'll give you that much. At least he's literate.
Why would you feel the need to answer something like this in the first place? Rose had heard dubious stories of mail-order brides, and very few of them ended well. You're a wonderful cook and a passionate woman. Any local man would be lucky to have you. You don't need to answer an advertisement from a Wild West gentleman, if he is one, that you don't know and move off to who knows where.
Maybe I wanted to grab my last chance for adventure, she said with a grin.
Rose felt bad, not wanting to hurt her feelings.
Oh, I didn't mean to.
Don't worry about it.
I'll take the next one who suits my fancy. This is exactly what you need after what happened. Rose, what have you got to lose? Abigail whispered, scrubbing the dirt from the potatoes for supper that night. You need to leave this house as soon as you can. They'll be burying the lady in a few days. But people are already talking. It's no secret she'd become ill, Rose. But sickness didn't break her neck, and everybody's talking about it. Even Mrs. Griswold's family has grown suspicious.
I've heard rumors, but we both know the truth. Mrs. Griswold wasn't ill enough to fall to the bottom of the stairs on her own, Abby.
I know what I saw.
Rose grabbed her friend's hand and squeezed it lightly.
He knows I saw him do it.
All the more reason to get out of town before someone questions you.
Abigail ceased her scrubbing. Her brow furrowed. She looked Rose square in the face.
Have you considered the consequences of that testimony if our family presses forward with an investigation? You know he could make it look like you're the one who helped his wife down the stairs that night. He'll make them believe you were in love with him, throwing yourself at him at every opportunity to lure him from his poor, sickly wife.
Rose recoiled from the thought of that snide monster touching her.
No one will believe that story. They can't. It's not true.
Even as she said it, she knew it wasn't true. She was a mere servant, and an impoverished one at that. He was wealthy. No one would believe her if it came to her word against his. It was why she hadn't gone to the law, even though it pricked her conscience to keep silent. It just plain went against her personal code of justice to let him go unpunished. The horrific scene played across her mind again. Rose had been starting her morning duties when she heard them arguing at the top of the stairs. Mrs. Griswold didn't want to go down for an early breakfast that day. She wanted to go back to her room. Mr. Griswold kept insisting she make an appearance so the staff wouldn't think she was sickly. Rose had often wondered if the source of the wasting sickness had come from the master's own hand. All he'd have to do was slip something into her tea. She shuddered, knowing it was too late to save her mistress now.
That morning, they'd continued to argue, and then came the scream, the horrible sound of a body tumbling down the stairs, and Mr. Griswold, standing at the top of the landing, with smug indifference on his face. When he turned and saw her, the look in his eyes when they locked on hers was dark, dead and cold as a winter's frigid night, promising retribution if she said anything. She'd shivered and dashed back up the servant's staircase, hiding in her room until the other maids began to move about the house. Then a scream rang out from the scullery maid, and Rose knew the mistress had been found.